This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Good afternoon. This is Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture. I'm Juliet Jacobs. The fashion revolution is a global movement that aims to transform the fashion industry into a more sustainable and ethical one. It was founded in the aftermath of the Rana Plaza building collapse in Bangladesh in 2013, which claimed the lives of over 1,100 garment workers. So this tragedy shed light on the poor working conditions and lack of transparency within the fashion supply chain. So it's Fashion Revolution Week this week, and that's held annually in April around the anniversary of the Rana Plaza as a collapse. And there are various events, campaigns and initiatives being organized both here and globally to engage consumers, brands and industry stakeholders in discussions about sustainability, ethical production and the need for systemic change in the fashion industry. So today on the show, I'm joined by Melissa Tan. She's a climate action and sustainability advocate. She's also the country coordinator for the Fashion Revolution Malaysia. We're going to discuss what's in store actually at Fashion Revolution this week, but also how Fashion Revolution is raising awareness about the social and environmental impacts of the fashion industry. Welcome, Melissa. How are you today?
Oh, super excellent. Thank you so much for having me, Juliet.
Absolute pleasure. Thanks so much for joining me today. So yes, you are also a zero waste advocate, a lot of sustainability in your life there. We're going to talk about that in a little bit as well. I think, just to kind of go off from what I mentioned earlier about the Rana Plaza building collapse, right? I mean, can you talk to us, about how that inspired the creation of the Fashion Revolution movement?
So Rana Plaza collapsed about a little over 10 years ago on 24th April 2013, and it left 1,134 people dead and more than 2,500 government workers injured. And it was a disaster that could have been avoided, but what it served as was a focal point on what was wrong in the fashion industry. I think most of us don't know how our clothes come into our wardrobes, but then when Rana Plaza happened, now the world could not ignore it anymore. This was the price of fast fashion. People were suffering, people were working in unsafe conditions, and now people were dying for us to consume fashion faster than ever before, for us to treat fashion as disposable, and it all came at a cost. So how the disaster happened was, there were already cracks in the building. The workers were getting really nervous. They were crammed into these small rooms and, made to work really long hours in the day to produce fashion at breakneck speed. And when they refused to go to work because they saw the building, start to form these cracks and that they could hear it, they locked the workers in. Mm-hmm. They locked the gates in so that they had to keep working. And then, of course, the building collapsed. And then when, the world started watching, what they found was, a lot of brands, of course, started to put up their hands and go, oh, I don't make clothes in that building. I don't make clothes in Rana Plaza. So my hands are clean of this. But then when they started to go through the rubble, that's when they started to pull out all these familiar brands to us. They found labels from Mango, from Primark, from Walmart, from Benetton. There were so many labels, yet, it kind of also showed that not only was brands not being honest with us, sometimes they weren't being transparent. They also, some of them weren't aware that they were making in Rana Plaza, because the fashion industry is quite opaque in its supply chain. Mm. So, before a fashion piece ends up in your wardrobe, it might have passed through, dozens of hands, from different parts of the process, being sent from factory to factory, being outsourced, being subcontracted. So you don't actually know what conditions these workers are working in. The brand might deal with their first tier suppliers, but then it gets, shuffled along the line to, 100 other different places to be processed. So you really don't know what kind of conditions they're working in. Even if you may have broad statements like, oh, we work with suppliers who pay fair wages, who treat their workers right. But do you really know? And do us as consumers really know as well?
Okay. So, and that just kind of like really revealed, all the worms in the wood, isn't it? And also we realized that the clothing manufacturing industry in poorer countries, wages weren't fair, working conditions weren't good. It's been more than a decade, right, since this really horrific event and, so many lives lost. Would you say there has been any substantial change in the aftermath?
I think the work of Fashion Revolution globally now has, gone into more than 100 countries. We have offices in more than 90. And thanks to, you know, the growing use of social media to campaign and to raise awareness about these issues, people are starting to wake up to the rate of consumption that we're at right now, that is not just unhealthy for the planet and for the people in the supply chain, but for us as well. So there is a call and a shift in at least awareness for the need for slower fashion. How that translates into action depends from varies from individual to individual, country to country, community to community, and brand to brand as well. But now it is something that is very familiar in the ether. Now at least people know the term fast fashion and ultra fast fashion and the damages of that industry as well.
Mm-hmm. And they also kind of realize, you know, also this is why I don't, my you know, this fast fashion is so much more affordable, let's say, compared to other types of fashion, right? Slow fashion, as we call it, right? So anyway, all of these events, right, that kind of spurred Carrie Summers and Ursula de Castro to create the Fashion Revolution, right? How exactly does Fashion Revolution advocate for greater transparency in the fashion industry?
So what some of the things they do is, you know, come up with campaigns, education, and push for policy change in each of our individual countries. For example, they had Good Clothes Fair Pay last year, and it continues to go forward right now, where they petitioned with 240,000 EU citizens to campaign for fair wage legislation that will transform the entire fashion industry. Because if the European brands are held to these standards, they then have to disseminate these kind of standards throughout the fashion industry, which a lot of them, you know, is made in the global south. They come out also with the Fashion Transparency Index. So this is a report that comes out every year by Fashion Revolution, where they audit 250 of the biggest brands in the world to score them based on how transparent they are with us as consumers. So, for example, this year, the average score of the top 250 brands was 26%. So that's pretty low. So 45% of brands now score less than 1% on the Fashion Transparency Index. So they're not really giving us a lot of information of how these clothes are being made, what is their impact to the planet and to its people. So we're really buying something that we do not know where it came from or whether it was made fairly. And unfortunately, 88% of the 250 top brands in the world do not disclose production volumes as well. So they're not telling us how much fashion is being made, because it's not just the clothing that we're buying, it's also all the overstock, the fashion that's being destroyed before it even gets into wardrobes. So you can imagine all the you know, climate impact, environmental impact, and impact on people that is just wasted there as well.
And how would you say that the Fashion Revolution actually tries to raise awareness about those things, right? So we're not just talking about social, right? Also environmental impacts. There's just like so many different things happening, all coming together and creating, it's one of the most polluting industries in the world, isn't it?
Yeah. So as I mentioned, you know, the campaigns, education, policy change, we do ground on ground activation in all our separate countries so that people engage with not just the awareness of the fast fashion industry, but also how do we translate that awareness into action. Mm-hmm. So for example, here in Fashion Revolution Malaysia, and for myself as well, you know, I've been hosting clothes swaps for the past 5 years, because, you know, that is a way for people to turn from away from consumption and into community instead. Because what we're seeking for in fashion is actually a connection to ourselves. How do we express ourselves? Do we feel good in this clothing? Because fast fashion actually doesn't make us feel good. It keeps us on this treadmill of, oh, I just need to buy another thing and then my life will be good. Mm-hmm. And then I'll feel good. And then we never actually stop that cycle of consumption. In fact, we ramp it up even more. So now we don't even develop that connection with our clothing. How many of us have a favorite pair, a favorite outfit, the outfit that makes you feel good? Now it's just, oh, it's the next one. It's the next one. It's the next one. And when we start to disengage from the things that we own, we start to lose respect for where it comes from. And now that's why it's not just disposable plastic that is a problem in our world. It's disposable everything. It's disposable fashion. So now our relationship to the world and our connection to the way we express ourselves is also disconnected. And, you know, we run activations that reintroduce people to their sense of style and help them form more healthier ways to connect to fashion that isn't based on consumption.
Okay. You mentioned clothes swaps just now, right? I think, you know, for anyone who might not be familiar with that, you just want to quickly explain what how a clothes swap works.
Okay, so a clothes swap is where you bring all your unloved clothing in your wardrobe, whether it's things that you've grown out of, you've sized out of, you've previously loved before, but maybe you've shifted to a different phase of life, or all the mistakes that we also make in our consumption cycle. So things that we've bought based on trends, based on FOMO, based on impulse. So we bring all these unloved clothing and, you know, we are producing 100 to 150 billion pieces, new pieces of fashion every single year. That's an entire wardrobe of clothing for every single human being on earth every single year. And more than 85% of that is being thrown away by the end of the year. And that's just an estimate in the industry. So you can imagine that even if we stop fashion right now, we stopped producing, we will have enough to clothe the next six generations. So why are we continuously buying and producing more? What if we learn to reappreciate the things that are already here and make the most of them so that we do not continue to perpetuate this negative harm? So in a clothes swap, we bring all this clothing together and then we share them with each other. Instead of, some of you may have heard the term shop your own wardrobe. Mm-hmm. Instead of taking out your credit card and trying to buy something new, see what you have in your own wardrobe. Clothes swap extends that by shopping each other's wardrobe instead of, again, creating more demand for the fast fashion industry. So we all come together and it's a very communal activity. It is for us to connect to each other through our stories, through our relationship with clothing, instead of just, oh, that looked good in a picture, so I bet I'm going to look good in it too. You know, I think one of the most beautiful parts of clothes swap is that the way that we host them is very much based on how do we see ourselves as a community that can share. Mm. So when we come in, everyone's kind of like reserved, everyone's kind of like, you know, doing their own thing. But by the end of the session, they're trading styling secrets, they're trading styling tricks, they're styling each other, they're, you know, sharing stories about how, oh, I wore this on my first date with my husband. This was my favorite dress during my first job. And now there is a lot of meaning imbued into clothing more than, oh, how can I wear this once on Instagram and then buy the next thing?
Yeah. And I think, you know, with social media, online platforms, right? Social, where we can just buy things online at such cheap prices, it's just really exacerbated the situation. And then you won't even know the size. And then you know, it's so cheap and you're like, oh, it's okay. I'll just, you know, buy and throw away, isn't it? So there's so many issues compounding that. I'm proud to tell you that I'm wearing my mother's skirt at the moment. Like, it's one of her old sarong skirts because it's our Hari Raya lunch day. So yes, I'm very proud to tell you I'm wearing that. We like to do all of this.
I'm so happy to hear that. See, like, these are the stories that should be perpetuated because actually each piece represents a part of yourself. Mm. And how do we represent ourselves to the world? I love that you're carrying a piece of your mother with you. Mm. Because that's how fashion used to be. It used to speak of our culture, our heritage, and where we come from. And now everyone across the world is dressing the same. And they're dressing the same for this week.
Correct. Yeah, it's crazy. And this was something from her youth, and she's passed on for 11 years now. So you can imagine the quality of the clothes even back then, right? Something different from what we get now.
Yeah, when I buy vintage pieces, they are most of the time 30 to 40 years old.
Yeah.
Or when I, you know, inherit them from my mother, or with my friends get them from their grandmothers, these things look so good. And they look good like a whole two generations later.
Exactly.
Whereas when you buy any piece of fast fashion out there right now, after two washes, you're like, this kind of looks a bit dodgy already.
Yeah, material is different, not cotton. Anyways, okay. Let's just go for a quick break, Melissa. When we come back, let's find out more about your own personal journey in becoming a climate action and sustainability advocate. And we'll find out more about what's happening on Fashion Revolution this week. I'm speaking today to Melissa Tan. She is a climate action and sustainability advocate. She's also the country coordinator for Fashion Revolution Malaysia. We are celebrating 10 years of the Fashion Revolution, and this week is Fashion Revolution Week, so we'll find out more after this quick break. Keep it here on Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Welcome back. This is Earth Matters on the Bigger Picture. I'm Juliet Jacobs. Joining me today on the line is Melissa Tan. She's a climate action and sustainability advocate. She's also the country coordinator for Fashion Revolution. Melissa, so Fashion Revolution is a global movement. It aims to transform the fashion industry into a more sustainable and ethical one. It was founded in the aftermath of the Rana Plaza building collapse in Bangladesh in 2013. So Fashion Revolution Week is held annually in April around the anniversary of the collapse. Lots of events in store. We're going to find out more about what's happening here in Malaysia that you can participate in. But Melissa, you know, personally for you, can you share your journey of, you know, going zero waste, of going down this, I guess, this sustainability path for yourself?
Thank you. So I was always an environmentalist as a kid, but then now it was kind of turning awareness into action. And it can be a bit confusing because I think most people think of sustainability as recycling and that's it. But it's actually about transforming the way that we relate to the world and the way that we use things as well. So I'm actually, I've been a fashion model for many years and, you know, I was thick in the heart of the fast fashion industry. And that's kind of where, surprisingly, I actually cured my addiction to fast fashion through being in the fast fashion industry. You know, I would wear like 100 to 150 pieces of clothing a day when I worked e-commerce days. And then from year one to year two to year five, I started noticing these trends of how I was wearing the same pieces over and over again. So we were actually selling the same pieces to people over and over again. And when you look in your wardrobes, you also see, why do I have 36 pairs of pants when I barely wear pants? How, you know, what we're doing is just doing things on repeat and without much intention and thought. And I was part of that problem as well. And what I also noticed was not just that we were producing repeats over and over again, it was that the quality got worse from year one to year two to year five to year seven. And, you know, my skin started to feel really unhappy. I didn't develop like any allergies or anything like that, but it was like, this feels like plastic on my skin. It does not feel good. I can't wait to take it off and change into the clothes that I actually do love. And because I was a traveling model, you know, I did contracts in different countries. I also lived from a suitcase for many months at a time. And then I started to realize what freedom that gave me. It felt so good to wear my favorite outfit every day and to only have 5 outfits. And when I came home to Malaysia and then opened my wardrobe, I just kind of backed away because it was just so overwhelming. It was so much clutter. And it was, I'm sure everyone here has experienced this at some point in time where you open your wardrobe, it's full of clothing, but you feel like you have nothing to wear and nothing feels good. And that's kind of why we are continuously buying. So that kind of brought, you know, a real audit and reassessment into my life. And then I started transitioning into a capsule wardrobe where all I owned was pieces I love. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the amount that you can actually live with is a lot smaller than you think it is. And then, of course, I supplemented that with, you know, hosting community quote swaps and all these other endeavors. And then that kind of showed me there is a different way for us to experience fashion that isn't based on consumption, that can be so much healthier and happier for the planet and its people, but for us as well. It's going to transform your own relationship with it.
And was it difficult for you making that transition? I mean, how can you, I don't know, maybe for anyone who's kind of like halfway there, not quite sure how to start, you know, how did you start and how did you, you know, like make those decisions and just, you know, no looking back, right? Just going full steam ahead.
I think for any behavior change, you kind of need to put yourself through experiments. And that's kind of what I suggest for everyone. I think if I were just to just receive information, data, oh, this is the harms of fast fashion. This is bad. That can only help so much. It can be a really good motivator. But if you put yourself through the experiments so that you experience the benefits for yourself, that will be the one that will introduce sustainable change into your life. So, for example, what I did was start living from a capsule wardrobe, start living from a suitcase, put away the credit card, put myself on shopping bans, and then see how that changes my relationship with it. Can I be more resourceful in the way that I restyle my fashion, experience fashion, swap instead, or, you know, borrow from friends instead? And once I started, you know, putting credit card as the last option of all, or even not an option at all, then the doors start opening for you. Mm. Because I think now our gut reaction for anything, doesn't matter whether it's fashion, whether it's boredom, whether it's other areas of our life, we think that a credit card is going to solve it, that a purchase is going to solve it. But when we step back away from that option, that's when we can start to see, oh, I actually feel best when I dress like this. I actually feel best when I do this instead, when consumption isn't the default.
Okay. All right. So very simple advice there. You know, just I guess choose your favorite outfits first, keep that, I guess, separately, and then and the ones that you haven't been using in a really long time, you know, start swapping that out. Don't throw it away, of course. Start swapping it out and attending clothes swaps and things like that, right?
Yeah. So maybe some cute little experiments that you can try for yourself is the shopping ban. Mm-hmm. Put yourself on a shopping ban for 3 months, 6 months, see how you feel. The other is to experience a swap. There's also this cute experiment you can do called Project 333 by Courtney Carver, where you take out 33 pieces of your wardrobe. You be really strategic with how you choose those pieces, you know, that they can be styled in different ways, that they can be paired in different ways, and then you keep the rest of your wardrobe. Then experience this pseudo capsule wardrobe for yourself and then see how you feel. Nice. Start to notice the trends, start to audit the way that you wear clothing, and start to notice what actually serves you the best and what doesn't.
Okay. All right. That's some great advice there for all of us to start with. And of course, that brings us to Fashion Revolution Week, right? So we are, and it's happening this week also here in Malaysia. You want to just quickly explain the significance of the week and maybe we can talk about some of the events that are lined up as well?
Yeah, Fashion Revolution Week, as you so graciously explained before, is centered around Rana Plaza and commemorating what Rana Plaza is and how that disaster continues to impact the fashion industry. Not just because it was a one-off event, that those conditions continue to perpetuate in the fashion industry now, but they are hidden. So every piece of clothing that you have actually came from somewhere and actually came from conditions that were not good. They were very likely not good for the people that made them. So, you know, it is a reminder that no one has to die for fashion, especially fashion that we're just throwing away willy-nilly. So Fashion Revolution Week this year is, the theme is how to be a fashion revolutionary, because each of us have the potential to be a revolutionary. We are choosing the world that we live in. We are voting for the world that we live in and the world that we want to see based on the decisions that we make, the choices that we make, the purchases that we make. So how can you use your voice and your actions to demand for a better world? So in Malaysia this week, we are this Saturday at Gaya HQ in Petaling Jaya. We are hosting events and workshops that help you engage in sustainability in fashion more holistically and with deeper understanding as well. So we have community circles to really explore what does it mean to act for sustainability in fashion industry. How does that translate to the choices that we make? Because it actually isn't about donating clothing or going thrifting. That is not the extent of it. It is actually a much, much more layered conversation that we really would love for you to join us in. There are also clothes swaps, both standard sizes, straight sizes, and plus sizes as well. Because, you know, one of the things that we hear often is how sustainable fashion is only for people who are skinny, which is not true at all. You know, it is based when we introduce community into the picture and we start sharing with each other. So I've gotten Jasmine King to co-host this with us. You know, she is a fabulous plus size advocate in the space as well. And she's hosted spaces with us before, and our former collaborators, My Fat Squad, where they really started to enjoy fashion because now it was sharing with each other. And with people in theirs, and you know, with people that are in similar sizes, because I think sometimes when it comes to sharing fashion, it can be very much viewed as something that straight size people can only access. So then we also have our mending workshops with the International Sewing School by Kalpana. One of the things that we've noticed is that a lot of people don't know how to do simple things like mend a zip, mend a button, mend a hole, especially with fast fashion when these clothing kind of, you know, breaks apart pretty quickly. Yeah. These things get thrown away more quickly also because they don't last very long. So how can you, you know, learn simple skills to be able to extend the life of clothing, not just of fast fashion, but all your fashion?
Awesome. So all of that is happening, I guess, within this next week or so, right? Right up till next week, am I correct?
Yeah, so I'll be in events this week. This week is on 20th of April, Saturday, at Gaia HQ in Petaling Jaya. It's a beautiful community space that is completely zero waste, upcycled, and in an organic garden as well.
Lovely.
We also have an upcoming cohort that we will be enrolling from the 20th of April as well, for people to enroll in a four-week program with us to really deepen your understanding of sustainability and in fashion and the fashion industry.
Okay. All right. So, and I, of course, you know, I think folks can just head to your website and social media pages if they want information on, and do they need to sign up and things like that?
Yeah, we really, really appreciate the signups, especially because there are limited slots for each of these workshops. But come and meet very like-minded people as well, so that you can, you know, connect with people, especially in your pursuit and your journey into sustainability and fashion as well. And for any educators in the audience, Fashion Revolution also has a series of courses that we can offer in your schools that teach students about sustainability and fashion and how they can be part of the revolution as well.
Awesome. Okay. And I guess, you know, kind of looking back at everything that you guys have been doing, right? What were some of the, I mean, it's 10 years now, isn't it? I'm not sure how long you've been involved, but what would you say have been some of the challenges that, you know, the organization both here and abroad faces in achieving its goals?
Personally, it is, because it is a lot about behavior change and systemic change. And, you know, we are fighting against the inertia of a culture that is, you know, backed by a lot of marketing dollars, by a lot of big corporations. So this is very much a grassroots movement. Mm. And for grassroots movements, we need everyone to get involved, because we are literally changing a culture. So, and that, I feel sometimes the challenge of that is that it has to also be a very individual journey. And as you know, I've talked about the experiments, I talked about the protocols that you can go through to keep it sustainable for yourself and for you to band together and join hands to be able to keep calling and demanding for a fair and clean fashion industry. It requires a lot of persistence and requires also breaking a lot of misconceptions around sustainability in fashion. Things like, you know, it's not just about thrifting. It's not just about buying bundle, because that teaches you a different form of overconsumption.
Yeah.
When you use it very mindfully, when you, you know, extend the life of clothing and also buy secondhand, that can be a very powerful act. But also not to fall into that area of, well, now I'm buying 20, 30, and now I'm filling entire storerooms with secondhand fashion instead, that can then perpetuate another problem for yourself. So it's a very layered conversation, but it's also a very exciting journey for you to continue learning and being part of the movement, and also seeing how you can contribute in your way, in your space, using your resources and your influence. Because it isn't just Fashion Revolution. It isn't just me or my comrades. It is each and every one of us. When someone looks at you and says, oh my God, that's a great outfit, instead of saying this is 50% off, this was cheap on this, so this platform, I bought this on sale, and then like this one I bought today, I bought last week, this is my 8th pair of white shoes, what about this was for my grandma, this was from a swap, oh, the lady that gifted this to me was, you know, this was her first date outfit and it didn't fit her anymore. Carry stories and meaning instead, and then you will perpetuate that culture within your influence, within your circle of friends, so that the culture of sharing and stepping away from the culture of consumption is reinforced and introduced over and over again. And that's how we change the culture.
Okay. So that's kind of more on an individual level, right? But what about in terms of, you know, speaking to brands and the fashion industry itself, right? Do you also do kind of like, or do you do some outreach with them, or do you have any recommendations perhaps if you had their years now, you know, for them to become more sustainable and ethical?
We've had conversations before with some of the major platforms to speak about the way that they package, the way that they market. Mm. So that, you know, introduce this conversation of more intentionality with their own consumers as well. I would really recommend anyone who is having to, you know, after auditing, after really reassessing your needs, if you do have to purchase something from a brand, that is doing better. And I would just, you know, caution you out there, there is so much sustainability marketing and so much greenwashing happening right now that it can be quite confusing to try and discern, oh, is this brand doing enough? And are they doing as much as they can? Mm-hmm. Look for brands that are smaller, that are, you know, not producing at scale, not producing a different collection every week, that are really giving you pieces that are meant to be used for long term. Places that are, you know, employing people on fair wages, using more earth-friendly materials. No actual piece or brand is sustainable because, you know, fashion continues to have an impact. Out of 100 different factors that goes into a piece of garment, they might have targeted like 2 or 3 out of 100 because, you know, you don't really know the extent of what goes into a garment. But we do invite you on this journey to learn with us. So these are all the ways that you can really show the market what we want as well, that we want brands that are more responsible, that we want brands and will support brands that are doing better.
Okay. All right. And I think, you know, a good way would be to come and meet you guys, of course, this weekend and the rest of the weekend and get that information. But, you know, if anyone's interested to also get involved with the work that you guys are doing, you know, they support the mission, how can they best do that?
Check us out on Fash Rev Malaysia. So that is FASHREV Malaysia on Instagram. And come and join us at Fashion Revolution Week and come and join the revolution. Learn how to be a revolutionary and then learn how you can be part of creating change in Malaysia and in your influence circles as well.
Okay, Melissa, thank you so much for joining me today. Any concluding message? Any message that you'd like to leave our listeners with?
Start today. Put yourself on that shopping van. And then see how it transforms your relationship. Learn how you can dress better than ever before and you never have to rely on your credit card again.
Okay, Melissa, thank you so much for joining me today. I was speaking to Melissa Tan, Climate Action and Sustainability Advocate and Country Coordinator for Fashion Revolution Malaysia. If you'd like to find out more about Fashion Revolution, you can head to the main website. So that's fashionrevolution.org. But as Melissa mentioned, there's also the local chapter's Instagram page, right? So Fashrev Malaysia, did you say?
Yeah, Fashrev Malaysia. But you can get a lot more resources as well on our main website, fashionrevolution.org.
Okay. And, you know, I do understand you also have your own website and social media channels, right? If folks would like to follow the work that you do.
Oh, yes. So I speak about climate action and sustainability on at Hey Melissa Tan, H-E-Y Melissa Tan on Instagram and my website, heymelissatan.com.
Okay,
thank you for that, Juliet.
Okay, all right. So folks, you have it all there, all the information. Do go visit, do find out how you can be part of this revolution, yeah? And start today, as Melissa said. If you miss any part of our conversation today, you can always search for the podcast at bfm.my/earth. You can also find it on the BFM app. This has been Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.